Caution. Learning in progress.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Smarter Every Season and our spring weekly updates. So with you, as usual, Nate Burnham, and with me, as usual, Hans Stutzman.
Good morning, Nate. How are we doing this morning?
We are doing. Planners are rolling. A little bit of rain, so it slowed down, but it's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week.
So we're happy to see you guys running. Let's dive right in. We don't have too many notes on the Gen 2.0 side of things. First thing, we seem to still get some of these calls on Delta Force when we think we have an issue with Delta Force. What is your first step?
Yeah, so this is just kind of more of a general reminder. This isn't like prevalent running everywhere, but this is just a good reminder. When you get that call that, hey, Delta Force doesn't seem to be working, like I'm not getting ground contact, I'm not getting whatever it is, the first thing we always are going to tell you to do is run a Delta Force health check, because what that's going to do is if you can lift row units and you can go through the process of getting each row unit to lift and go up and down, you can on command, that means that the hydraulic cylinder is good, that means our command is good, our solenoids are good, our health of our system is good at that point. If that doesn't result in a good performance in field, then we're looking at physical issues on the row unit, ground conditions, and or weight pins. So those are generally the places I go to look for right away. And then the last one, Nate, then is our favorite one that everyone gets tired of us asking is, and what's that? Are you lifting the bar?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants it. Was like, we always ask the question, are you lifting the bar? And they're like, no, I'm not. And always remind you guys to get, if you run into that, realistically the best person, it takes two people, but get somebody out, somebody run the planner, somebody walk beside it, and watch what the bar is doing, because that's going to be the best way to know how much is the bar. But it's going to, if you have X amount of force pushing down, you got to have something to push against. That bar's got to have enough weight to hold on to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important too to call out, and I'm going to break my rule and jump into a little dot one briefly here. If we're having issue with one row and we go into the manual test in dot one and select that one row to test, and you apply 450 pounds of lift, do not be surprised when multiple or all the rows end up lifting, because it's a planner-wide lift system.
Correct. Yep.
So I've gotten a couple questions on that, but thought it was a good call-out.
Yep, it is.
Section EMHD on dot zero.
Yeah, this is it catches people pretty quickly if you go to the diagnose page. So if you set up a EMHD, section-based EMHD, so you have an EMHD plus a flow sensor for that EMHD, plus you then have a row monitor for EM flow sense on every row. When you go to the diagnose page, the first row of your section, so if you have a four-row section that's rows 1 through 4 and then 5 through 8, the control EM flow sense, so the one that's running, that's paired with the EMHD that's running all those rows, that flow sensor value will show up on rows 1 and row 5 because they're the first row of that section. And that will show up in the diagnose page that way. It'll map on the home screen. It'll map what the monitor sensors are showing, what each row's EM is doing. But the diagnose page will show the first row of the section. On the first row of the section will show what the control source is. So you'll get 4x the rate on that first row because that's the EM control source, not the row, the monitor system. If you want to see the monitor of that row, if you want to see the row that's the actual flow sense monitoring for each individual row, you'll need to set up a second product that is just monitor. They'll basically just name it that, so starter monitoring, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And then all you put in that one is the EM monitoring flow senses.
Awesome.
So just a call out, it catches people time and time again on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into dot one. So Hans, I'm driving through the field and everything is running correctly, but my monitor keeps beeping at me, you know, throughout the field or constantly.
Yep.
What's going on?
Yeah. So there's a lot more alerts in dot one. We've talked about it a couple different times, but there's a lot more alerts in dot one and there's a lot more settings that you can change to take care of those alerts. If you're getting an alert going through the field, one of the first things that I would do is there is actually an alert state in the or a force, there's a state map for each product. So a seeding state, a downforce state, row cleaner state, go look at that state map on your Gen 3. Bring that map up and look at it. If you're seeing yellow or red, that's what's alerting you. And if that corresponds to when you're getting the alarm and the chirping, that's the product that's causing the issue. Go into your alerts then underneath seeding, select the product or the system that you're dealing with, and then you can fine tune those alerts. Or maybe there's an actual real issue and you need to go fix the issue. I mean, that also, that's what alerts are for, to tell you there's a problem.
Right.
So, yeah. But those are that's generally the annoying alert that you don't know where it's coming from. Go look at your state map and see what's going on with those products.
Yeah, and I feel obligated to throw a plug for Panorama. If your grower's running Panorama and uploading data,
yep,
and they call you saying, hey, this is going on, you can pull their fields up and look at their different state maps.
Correct.
We've done that a couple times up in support,
yep,
and it's super helpful.
Yep.
SpeedTube, we have a note on SpeedTube.
Yeah, so just kind of the update that we ran last year, we were told everybody earlier this spring that if you're running SpeedTubes, you want to be on 2020.0.4 for Gen 2, 25.0 for Gen 3, or 25.1.3. Those SpeedTubes will no longer, you will not get an unjam sequence on when you're on that software. Basically, if we are seeing high current draw from a jam or something like that, we'll let it run up until we get to a certain amount of current, and then we shut the speed tube off and we stop it. We won't try to reverse and unjam it and reverse and unjam it. That's kind of one thing as a protection mode for the speed tube. So you probably will not get an unjam event code anymore. You'll just get the speed tube stopped. You lift the planter up, it cleans itself out. You take yourself, or you go clean it out, it takes off and it goes again.
Yep. Do we have to toggle the master plant or anything to get it
to
run?
No, it's just it should, as soon as you reset, I mean, if it's clear, it should start going again.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about the blue light.
The blue light.
The blue light on dot one.
So we are used to seeing a blue light on the DBM if the display is missing or if the CCM is missing. In dot one, that is no longer there. And if you're looking for, if the display is unplugged, on dot one, you are looking for a green light. It is a green light. There is no blue light anymore on that. So it'll be green, yellow, or red. Actually, I don't know if I've ever seen a red one on the DBM.
I don't think I have either.
I think it's yellow.
White.
Yellow is yellow, white, or green,
yeah,
are the three colors on the, I think there is a red state, but I'd have to double check what that actually means.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it helps me identify very quickly. Number one, what? Am I on dot one?
Correct.
So yep, it helps me identify the software. But then two, I mean, is it healthy?
Yes. And if you see green, the DBM is fully functioning at that point. If it's green, it is functioning, regardless of whether there's a display plugged in or not.
Yeah. All right. We've taken a couple calls. I'm going through the setup, and hopefully we're kind of out of the setup season. Most guys seem like they're rolling, but when we're setting up a planter on dot one, a bunch of my tractor measurements disappeared, and I can't find GPS on my tractor.
Yeah.
So I've added my GPS to my planter. Where do I go next?
Yep. So as you're going through, you can keep adding hardware, and at some point you add GPS to the planter. It's an either or toggle. So it can either be on the planter or on the tractor. So whatever you add it to last is where it ends up. So if you get it on the planter, just go back to your tractor, re-add GPS to your tractor, and it'll move from the planter back to tractor. So you don't have to actually physically remove it from the planter. It's an either or location.
Cool.
The other thing on that I will, in the same vein, and I've seen this happen several times, is the display on dot one software has to be added to the Ethernet CAN devices. And I keep seeing it getting added to the planter. That also needs to be added to the tractor. And if you do add the display to the tractor, to the planter, you do have to remove it on the Ethernet CAN device and then re-add that to the tractor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a call out for removing it, you would basically go in like you're manually adding something.
Correct.
And so you would hit configure, you know, Ethernet devices, hit continue, and then there's an option to delete all.
Correct. Yep. And remove that Ethernet display from the planter, go back and put it in the tractor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. If you run into it and have questions on it, give us a shout.
Yep.
Override mode for Delta Force or really any system, but specifically Delta Force.
Yeah. So override mode is basically the manual mode. Basically, you're setting a command force, a non-sensor value, just a static force is what you're trying to set to when you go to override mode. Rule of thumb, it shouldn't be used in Delta Force. There should really never be a scenario that you need to run an override mode. If you lose a weight pin, it's going to control off the 80th percentile, just like it always has. That functionality hasn't changed, so there's really no reason to go into override mode and change it. But just a call out, we've gotten caught several times with it where our system's in override mode. The one that actually is really confusing is if you see override mode and 0 pounds, it looks like it's not in override mode, but it actually is, and it's applying 0 pounds. And so Delta Force won't do anything at that point. I know from personal experience on that one. I got caught with that one.
Should say disabled, right?
It should say disabled. Okay. Yep, you want to say disabled, not 0 pounds. There shouldn't be a pound reading in that box. It should actually say disabled.
Cool. Cool. And then the last thing I got on the list, Hans, is sound loss on dot one.
Yeah, so sound loss, if you're into sound loss on dot one, realistically, almost every time we ran across that in dot one, it should be a simple power cycle, and it should come back on again. If you run into a scenario where you lose sound loss on dot one, power cycle it. The display should come back on and sound should come back on again. And there are some scenarios where we, the sound loss should, like there might be a brief moment where you lose sound, but it should restart right away. If it doesn't restart right away, go back and reboot the display and it should take care of it. If it doesn't, that's the scenario we want to know about.
Yeah. Yep. Give us a call.
Yep.
All right. Am I missing anything?
That's what's on my list.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, we're waiting for things to dry out a little bit around us.
Yes.
But until then, stay safe, guys, and we'll talk to you again next time.